It deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Welcome in to Talk Sports. I'm Cody McClure. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. John Reed is out today. He's attending Family Matter, so we will see him back here tomorrow. Ben Lee joins me today, as well as Cam Black in the co-host chair today. Well, actually, in the number one chair today.
I'm not an intern today.
Yeah, good to see you, Cam. Had considered putting Ben in that chair, but talked to John, and he thought it'd be best to have Cam there. I agreed. So Ben is behind the board.
It was Cam more and I like co-hosting. It was more like we need Ben behind the board. Like he just knows everything.
Sure. I'm sure that's what it was.
And John said I had a really good face for radio. So
you do. Here I am. You do much better than mine. And you got a Hawks hat today.
Oh, absolutely.
He would be proud.
He's really filling in for John right now. He's got the Hawks fandom. He's in the right chair.
He would be proud. Ben, how are you today?
I'd give a thumbs up for my day so far.
Thumbs up from Ben Lee and Cam.
I'm in the co-host chair, so I'm doing well.
All right,
Cam, speak with your chest, man.
Sounds good. So we got a lot of stuff going on today. Still plenty to talk about. Tennessee baseball last night. I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch any of that game, but the baseball team lost to Auburn in the SEC tournament, single elimination, so they're done in terms of the SEC tournament. They got close, though. They got close. They were about 5 feet away from maybe having a chance to tie that game up. I actually watched it. Did you guys get a chance to watch?
Shockingly, I did not tune into the Tennessee-Auburn Hoover game.
Okay. Well, as a sports radio professional, I did. I thought it would be best for me to watch the game. Watched some NBA last night.
I got to the NBA. Checked up on some recruiting stuff, but did not catch the base Vols, the Diamond Vols, as they call them.
Yeah, we had the baseball game. We had Bucks Raptors. There was some hockey last night too. The St. Louis Blues making their way to the Stanley Cup.
What's crazy about that is they were, second to last in the entire NHL at the halfway point. So remarkable for them to be in the finals now.
Really turned around after that All-Star break, huh?
Yeah, it's big time for the city of St. Louis, I know, as well, because, when the Rams moved out of there, I guess all they had left was the Cardinals and the Blues, right? And the Cardinals have not been quite as good in recent years. I mean, they're second all time in World Series, only to the Yankees. But in recent years, the Cubs have kind of taken over there, and the Cardinals have not been as good. So the city of St. Louis, it's good to see that. Good to see them getting a team. So we had that last night. And then, of course, here locally, the signing of Juroš Plavšić officially announced. I guess we kind of knew he was coming, but I'm really excited about this guy coming in. This guy's like 7 feet tall. I've been wanting these trees, man. We finally got a tree. The guy's huge.
Wish was granted.
Yeah, the guy's huge. So
he can splash.
Yeah, he's coming in from Arizona State. He can splash.
I've been told he's got some range to his shot. He's not one of those big goofy 7-footers. He can move. He can get out in front of the defense and be a fast break guy too.
So is he going to be like the new Splash Mountain?
European Splash
Mountain?
I
mean, maybe. We might have our own little Juroš Mountain going on.
I mean, I just think it's pretty cool. Just, a month ago, we were talking about not having as much height, not having, big guys inside. And, I've been advocating for these trees for a long time.
I did hear.
And now we got a redwood.
I did hear Nate and Houston on the morning show a couple days ago talking about him. And Nate did say something along the lines of, he kind of looks like a 3 or 4 inch taller John Fulkerson.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sounds like a win to me.
I mean, as long as he's tall, that's really all I'm looking
that's
for.
That's all. You just want the trees.
Yeah, that's my requirement. As long as the guy's tall, he's got long arms.
Cody wants the point guard to be about 6'7", and then everybody else up from there.
That's, yeah, really.
About the length.
That's what I want, man. I want trees. That's how you defend shots. Yeah.
That's
true. Look at the Bucks. Didn't work out real well last night for the Bucks.
But they start three guys that are 6'11 or higher.
Yeah, they are massive. They had trouble last night. Really, the last two games, the Bucks have not been – they have not looked like their usual self, but – you know, they've had to go into Toronto and play in a tough environment there in, Scotia Arena or something?
Oh, gosh.
It's some weird name. I don't know how to say it. But so they've had a tough time the last couple games. But anyway, so lots to get to today. We'll play overrated, underrated later.
Probably hit the hat.
Yeah.
Plenty.
We'll hit the hat for sure. We've got all our props today. I'm sure Ben will have some wonderful headlines for us.
Oh.
Right?
I thought that was Cam's job. He's the co-host.
You guys can double-team it.
Yeah, we'll multitask
maybe
the headlines.
Maybe Ben gets hour two, Cam gets hour three or something.
I mean, like, the discussion in the group text was like, you know, oh, I can do the I can hop in the other chair. Cam can come behind the board. And John's just like, oh, maybe Cam behind the booth or Cam over behind the mic and you behind the board still. I don't know.
I think it's more of an image thing. You know what I mean? Because, like, we've already got one big guy with a beard here, and like if you just had two big guys with beards, like
we did have Billy.
Diversity.
I don't know how to feel about it, but Billy did say he saw you walk to the back, and he was like, "Oh wow, did Ben shave his head?" And I was like, "One, Billy thinks I'm taller than I am, so that's a plus for me, I guess."
Yeah, I mean, if you just see us both, you know, just quickly, I mean, I could see where it kind of, you know, from the neck up, like we both got, you know. Fairly thick,
fairly
hair,
short hair,
beard. I mean, my hair is kind of thin now, but
yeah, your hair is a lot thinner than mine now.
Yeah,
I'm a week and a half removed from my haircut. I'm getting bushy again.
Give it a few years. Give it a few years. It's tough, but yeah, no, we thought it would be best. To, you know, me and Cam, it's better image.
It feels right.
Yeah,
it feels right.
It feels good. You know, if they just saw you and me, Ben, they might be like somebody who'd never seen the Periscope before. They might be like. I think it's some kind of like lumberjack thing or something. Like lumberjack feud.
That is two ugly dudes on
right,
the screen.
Right. And we don't want that. We want to look like a sports show. So, you know, Cam's got his Hawks hat. It just makes too much sense. So that's what we've got, I guess, on the docket today. Baseball, hockey. We'll probably hit all the sports, talk some Tennessee football maybe today. A lot of people are upset about recruiting still. So I know that was a hot topic yesterday, but we'll kind of get into that later in the show and, you know, figure out how big of a deal it is, if it's an alarming thing or if it's, you know, nothing too bad to be worried about. But anyway, lots of sports talk today, and then we'll have overrated, underrated other things. So let's take our first break, and we'll come back and talk about sports. Welcome back in to Talk Sports. Cody McClure here with Ben Lee and Cam Black. Tennessee baseball last night goes down in the SEC tournament to Auburn, the 8 seed. It would have been nice to have won that game, although you would have to come right back and play Vanderbilt, which is the top seed. And in the baseball world, they are pretty good. Tim Corbin and the Commodores probably would not have been, I don't know if I want to say beatable or not in that second game, but you're probably not winning that game.
A stretch.
Yeah, I mean, Vandy and Mississippi State throw Arkansas in there, probably the favorites in the SEC tournament. But, you know, we were looking, even with the loss, yesterday D1Baseball.com had Tennessee as one of the 16-2 seeds in the NCAA tournament. So, Ben, do you know when we will officially know whether or not Tennessee gets into the NCAA tournament?
As far as I've seen, like we're solidly in.
It appears that way according to D1 Baseball, and I saw D1 Baseball being referenced on ESPN. So it's they're a legitimate.
The way they broke it down, they had 11 SEC teams making a bid for the NCAA tournament. So like we would have to literally be one of the last three SEC baseball teams in the conference.
Well, from what I understood, Missouri and Florida were closer to that kind of bubble line than Tennessee.
They were part of the last five in on yesterday's breakdown. Let me see if I can pull it back up.
Yeah, pull up those D1 baseball bracketology, I guess what you call that, if you can. Mm-hmm. So Tennessee was a number two seed, and again, there's 16 regions, so that would make them essentially one of the top 32 teams in the country, which would, you know, based on where they've been the last few weeks of the season, that would make sense.
Yeah, out of the
be right there.
Out of yesterday's, like, this is from yesterday. They did an announcement of the teams that were in. I guess the last five in yesterday were Florida at the 60 spot, Missouri 61, Michigan at 62, Virginia at 63, and my UCF Golden Knights at 64.
Okay, so Tennessee's nowhere near the bubble there.
Yeah, Tennessee is the two seed in Greenville as of right now.
UCF baseball is at 64, huh?
UCF baseball is going to squeak in there at 64.
Bet you're really pulling for them, aren't you?
Hey, I mean, if they get in, I'll be watching.
How's the season been for UCF baseball?
Oh, you know, it's been a fairly good season.
I assume you've watched a lot of games.
We've been fairly up and down. I mean, as you can tell, I mean, we're on the bubble.
Yeah, as such a big UCF fan that you are.
But we dominated our conference. I mean, come on.
UCF always does.
They have
just like football and basketball, huh?
I mean,
really should have beat Duke.
We absolutely own the AAC.
Yeah, that's the American Athletic Conference. The one you play in football.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah, we were solid this year. I mean, posed a 34-21 overall record, which that's only a little bit behind Tennessee. Tennessee was 38-19, I believe, somewhere in there. 11-13 in the AAC. So you know they had some trouble. But they dominated at home 23-12. They if you come to UCF Golden Knight baseball field,
right down there in Orlando,
you don't come away with a victory that easy.
It's tough to walk out of there.
You don't come out. And then they dominated the away games 11-8. So,
well, that's good.
They can win
good.
Anywhere.
they're unstoppable.
Clearly, that's good to know. I'm glad I asked.
0-1 in neutral site games, so not anywhere.
thank you for that, Ben. Tennessee struggled last night for the most part against Auburn's pitching. They only had four hits in the game last night against Auburn.
If I can add one more tidbit about UCF right
good
here.
Good God, Ben.
They posed a better record against Auburn than Tennessee did this season, 1-2.
Oh, okay.
They also beat
just
Florida 12-9.
It's like football, huh?
Mm-hmm.
They beat Auburn, and suddenly we're national champions. Auburn last night, though, I will say, Auburn made us pay kind of all year. I was looking back through the other sports last night, just wondering how much we've had to pay for that football win. Because, I mean, obviously we remember basketball season. Bruce
Absolutely.
Just owned our ass
yes.
twice.
Yeah.
And, you know, just beat us down in the SEC tournament.
That goes
then,
back to last year, too.
And then baseball did the same thing happen, basically.
Swept in the regular season.
Swept in the regular season, and then we lose last night.
Gets the season sweep.
So I kept looking through the sports just to see how far I could take it. Turns out, even in softball, we struggled this year. And our softball team is ridiculous.
Yeah, our softball team is our pride and joy at this point.
Yeah.
Because women's basketball is falling off there.
Well, women's basketball won. They were 2-0 against Auburn.
2-0 against Auburn, huh? Yeah. Okay.
So softball was
shout out Holly.
Yeah, one thing Holly did.
Holly could handle Auburn.
I mean, she probably got rid of her at the wrong time. She just needed a little more time.
Yep. This game last night, it was 3-2 in the seventh. And that is when things really changed. I mean, because it was, it was kind of a nail biter. It was close for most of the game. Even though we couldn't really hit against Auburn's pitching, we were right in it. And then Auburn had, they scored two runs in the seventh inning to make it 5-2. And at that point, you could kind of feel it slipping away. I felt so bad for this pitcher we had. This guy, they brought him in. I can't even remember his name. We brought this guy in for like five pitches.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had like five pitches, and Tony Vitello came out there and just pulled him out of the game. He's like, this is not working. And I was wondering as I was watching him, because the pitches were like all hitting the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the smartest baseball guy, but I know that when you throw the pitch, it's not supposed to hit the dirt.
It's got
to
get to the catcher.
Ideally.
Typically.
Ideally, you're not throwing it in the dirt. And he did this.
That
like
would be
four,
a ball.
Yeah, he did it like four times.
I've seen, Jesus, man. I've seen Vitello do this. I watched a little bit of the Ole Miss series whenever we had the chance to get the home regional. And one of the pitchers walked two guys in a row, and he had probably pitched four or five innings. So they pulled him, and they put in another guy, and he walked his first batter immediately, and then got pulled.
Yeah. Tony makes moves pretty quick. I like that about Tony, I think.
Well, I mean, I kind of go back and forth on it, because that's how Dave Serrano was at the very beginning of his tenure too.
Yeah.
Especially whenever Kyle Serrano, his son, was on the team. I remember distinctly, like, he would come in and he would start either the first or second game usually, but of the series. But he'd come in and he'd get through about two innings. First guy he walked or hit, you're out.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's a little bit of a double-edged sword. Like, do you let the guy figure it out?
Yeah.
Or do you...
To me, baseball feels like such a rhythm sport that you have to feel like you're in there and you're consistent and you're just always like you're not going to get pulled after one mistake. So like, I don't know. I kind of go back and forth. Like if a guy goes out there, puts four balls in the dirt, walks a guy, maybe give him one more batter, or at least let him finish out the inning,
mm-hmm.
and then be like, okay, like we'll try you at the beginning of the next inning, and then if that's not working, we're going to switch it out. But like letting one guy pitch against one batter and then pulling him just doesn't feel right to me. I feel like that gets in the confidence area.
They'll always be looking over their shoulder next time they come out.
Baseball's such a mental sport. Like those guys, like you either have your hitting slumps or you're on a streak. Like there's like no in between.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's all up in the head. Really, the ninth inning is where things got somewhat interesting for Tennessee. Zach Daniels, he had a pinch hit solo home run with one out, so that made it 5-3. And then the Auburn pitcher hit one of our guys, Connor Pavloni. He hit him, so that sent him to the plate. One out, we got a guy on base, and then Christian Scott, he was the guy I was impressed with. He's the one that got us about 5 feet from tying up the game. He hit a ball out to right field, but it was caught at the wall.
Right.
So he knocked it out, and we had a guy on base. It looked like it was going to be a home run, and the guy caught it. It was literally like 5 feet from going out of the park. So that was – and that even hurt me watching.
Really?
It's like the second baseball game I've watched this year, and I saw him hit it out. I'm like, oh, man, we're gonna tie the game up here in the ninth. And we didn't. the Auburn player caught it.
And we didn't.
And that was the second out, and then they struck out some dude like a couple of batters later. And then that was the loss. But I was really pulling for them because there was a stat the guys who were doing the broadcast were talking about. Did you realize Tennessee was like 0-16 in ninth inning comebacks this year? Like when we've been down in the ninth, we have not come back.
Hmm.
Like 0-16. So now I think we're 0-17.
Well, it is only Vitello's second year, and I'd say we're already ahead of schedule. So, you know, it might be just the whole, like, not to use a Butch Jones quote, but, you know, we're learning to win.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's something to that, you know.
It was a good postseason experience. Like, it was good for him to get out there in a high-pressure situation, especially going into the tournament. But
yeah, and it's not over. I mean, we'll still get to see him, I think, in the NCAA tournament.
This is still your best statistical season since 2005. So, I'm not, you know, like, the way I've put it with this baseball team is, like, this is the definition of being ahead of schedule. Like, you came in, year one, you were a little bit above average. Year two, you're literally putting up the best record you've had in 14 years.
It feels a lot like Barnes to me. Because if you'll remember Barnes, well, the timetable's a little different because Barnes, year one, was awful. But that was expected. But, and then year two.
Year two,
year
you
two
had
is
a...
when you beat You beat Kentucky and Kansas State, right?
Yeah, and then you had
back to back.
And there was like at the very end of the season, there was like I remember it distinctly because I remember writing an article about this. There was 11
such
games.
A scribe, didn't
journalist.
Yeah. I wrote an article about this.
Big J. Ben
from my days at the other station that got shut down a while back. You know, RIP.
I'm familiar with that station.
But there was 11 games left in the season. And they had to win if they won. It was honestly outrageous. Like, if they won, like, 9 of the 11, they could have gotten into the NCAA tournament. And I believe they started off that run, like, 5-0, and then they lost, like, 3 or 4 in a row.
Yeah, there was bubble talk that year. So you could compare that to Tony's first year. Like you said, you kind of overachieved a little bit. You know, it did some things that made people hopeful for the future,
but
anyway.
But then year three, obviously, the basketball team exploded, and then Tennessee had this last two-year run.
Yeah, so like I compare this year to Barnes's year three, basically.
Yeah.
We got bounced by Loyola in the second round. So, you know, Tennessee baseball, this feels like a good comparison. Vitello's year two, a lot like Barnes's year three. You're better than you thought you were going to be. Now we'll see if baseball can come back next year and have one of those 31-6 type years. Not actually in the baseball record, but...
That'd be
astronomical.
Making
the Rick Barnes comparison.
You know what I mean? The 43-2 seasons.
It's probably a trash comparison. I mean, like, to be, I don't know, get maybe on the edge of the, I don't know, compete for a College World Series eventually? Is that too much?
No, I mean, like, honestly, they have the opportunity right now. Assuming what D1 baseball says is true and we're in the NCAA tournament firmly as a 2 seed, like,
I mean, not this year.
I could see. I mean, like, baseball, kind of a sport of runs as well. You know, you kind of if a team gets hot, they could rattle off 2 or 3 wins and be in Omaha in the next few weeks.
Well, no, I'm not even talking this year, but I'm thinking like next year because they got a fairly young team, right?
No, yeah, next year and the year after, you should firmly be like in the hunt for the College World Series.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a reasonable expectation.
Absolutely.
Maybe. I mean, like,
I don't know. It might be.
Well, like, in the College World Series, it's basically like the final eight. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, you should be able to get past some of the mid majors that are in the NCAA tournament.
I don't know.
And
I
continue
feel like,
on. I don't know why I keep starting to say with SEC tournament.
I feel like that's
have
a really
to keep
high
stopping.
Expectation.
You're in the NCAA tournament right now. Like, next year, you should say you can win 4 games.
Yeah, and if we're a 2 seed in our region, then, like, we're right there in, like, being the favorite to get out of the region almost.
Now,
yeah, but there's 16 2 seeds.
Yeah, baseball's a little bit different. It doesn't go. They don't seed it 1 through 16. Like the areas you go to apparently are the higher ranked ones. So like Vandy hosting in Nashville is like one of the best like 1 seeds we have.
If you are the league is so tough though. The league's so tough in baseball. There's so many good teams. It's like 10 really good teams. So I don't know if I can say Tony in year three. I don't know if it's a realistic expectation to think we could get to the College World Series.
This is your
maybe that's your goal that you set.
This is your best record. This is your best season since 2005. In 2005, you went to the College World Series. You were there. So in my head, next year, if you're posing the same amount of like you're getting the next step up, you should be able to make it further in the NCAA tournament than you are now.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, this is your best year record-wise since 2005, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, and your most SEC wins.
Yeah.
And you got to the College World Series that year, so, yeah. All right. Yeah.
That's the way I see it. Yeah. I mean, like, it's honestly is exactly like the basketball talk. Like, last year we were talking, like, okay, we went 26-9. What should we legitimately...
It was achieving too early.
Yeah, what do we legitimately expect going into next year? And I'm like, well, the way I saw it was, well, we went 26-9... You should be able to win 29 games now. You should be able to get a 2-3 game jump.
Yeah, you should improve. You should be at the top of the conference.
Yeah.
But I still don't even feel like – I mean, saying that maybe we could go to the College World Series next year is not even saying we should win the conference, which I'm sure you saw Tony's quote last night. Like, it's harder to – and so I know some people had a problem with the quote.
It's harder to win the conference than the championship.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, like –
because you get time off in the College World Series.
D1 baseball, like I said, like 11 teams in the SEC are going to go to the NCAA tournament. So, like, that does kind of make a point. Like, the next highest one, I think, was 5 from the ACC or something like that. Like,
yeah,
the SEC just dominates baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, Tony said it's harder to win the SEC tournament than the College World Series because Hoover is such a grind. And the College World Series format allows for off days. So, I don't know. Maybe there's something to that. Sounds a little butchy, but maybe there's something to it.
No, yeah, the breakdown right now, as put up by D1 Baseball, says SEC 11 teams, ACC is going to get 9, the Pac-12 5, and then everything else is 4 or less.
Right.
So, like, the SEC is just so much more stacked than everybody else. Like you said, there's 10, 11, like, quality teams. At one point, I think they said 12 of our 14 teams were in the top 25.
Is that updated yet with...
This is from May 21st, so this is from yesterday. I'd say that's about as updated as we can really get.
They've still got it
as
a 2 seed, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So they should squarely be in. That felt like a lot of time talking baseball. So let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back and talk basketball.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Back here in the program, we're going to talk some basketball.
Yes, we are. Great job bringing us in, Kim. Usually we just say that to start the show.
Yeah.
That's usually what John says.
Usually when we come back, it's like back on the program.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. And I've been told that sometimes when I host, I let the bumpers ride too long.
It was good by Cam. I was pointing for like a good 3 or 4 seconds, and he kind of kept looking over at Cody, looking back like, I don't know what's gonna happen.
No dead air.
Not
on my watch.
Troy writes in: Is this bring a slow kid to work day? So
is that me or Cam?
I don't know who that's a shot at, but reviews coming. Oh, he also says one other thing: every time Ben says like, slap him in the head.
Oh,
I can't reach you. I wouldn't slap you in the head anyway.
Do I say like too much?
You do say like a lot. I've noticed that about
you. Is it too much? Do I need to try to tone it down? I think it's a filler
not
word.
Not every like other word, but like sometimes like if you're like trying to fill like some space, like you say it like fairly, I don't know, like often.
Yeah.
I think I use it as a filler word to try to form my thoughts more. See, that's where that's where I would use a like.
I guess if you don't say like and you're just full of silence, that would make it weirder. So,
yeah, like
do what you gotta do.
Dang it! See, yeah, I had a friend growing up that he wouldn't use. He said he didn't really like using filler words. So he would just stop mid-sentence,
which is a little awkward.
And so, like, I remember my family being like, "Hey, are you done?" Like, you know, always stopping.
Guard,
are
yeah.
you a half-wit?
Just always not knowing when to like jump into the conversation because they were just like, "Are you done with your comment, or are you still trying to form a thought?"
Yeah, I know a lot of people have different. You know, a lot of people use Sometimes, you know,
well, I mean,
I think that's the one I use.
I used
you know?
The F word one time, but then I got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently you're not supposed to use that one on live radio. My bad. But, you know, that's the one I use. Bear uses that a lot, too.
You know?
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like if, you know. And then a
but
lot
see,
of people
you always
use,
throw on a, you know, like as well. So I don't see how that's any different.
Yeah, I don't know. You have a lot of likes.
I do have a lot of likes. It's a bad habit, truly.
Yeah, it's just part of developing as a professional, I suppose. The Raptors beat the Bucks last night, 120-102. Kyle Lowry had 25 points, and the bench had, what, 48? The bench was really the story. Kawhi was a little fatigued. Kawhi was a little beat up. He was beat up the last game.
Yeah, he's been nursing a knee injury for the past couple games. I don't know if it was the last game or the one before, but he went up for a dunk. I think it was the last game. He went up for a dunk and kind of got clipped and went down. It looked like he hyperextended it a little bit, and he's been kind of every so often he kind of gets you get a little bit of a tweak in there and kind of twinges it again.
It was early first quarter last game too, so like he's been battling through it.
Yeah, he was hobbling around a little bit last night. He hit a shot in the third quarter. still toughed it out for 30 minutes. He played 52 minutes in that double overtime game.
Yeah.
In game three.
It was like 52 or 58.
Yeah, and his leg was sore as hell then. So,
but like you said, the bench has truly been the benches have been the story of this this series. Really, the Bucks bench is what helped them get back into the game a couple nights ago and got them that double overtime. The starters for the Raptors held the starters for the Bucks like to 52 points total. You know, so the benches have been the ones that have been really coming through and putting on a show.
Pays to have a good bench. I mean, if you got a bunch of guys that can rotate and play, like that's gonna help you out a lot. Kawhi last night said he felt good, but he's got to keep fighting. Kyle Lowry said it was one of the nights we knew Kawhi was going to be a little bit limited. We had to come out and be aggressive for him, and Kyle Lowry did that. Lowry was hitting big shots in the second half. Ibaka had 17 points and 13 rebounds. The Norm Powell, he's the guy that came off the bench. He had 18. Gasol had 17. So guys really did a pretty good job of helping Kawhi out. And I saw a story on ESPN that was talking about the Kawhi effect and how even when he's a little bit hobbled, you can tell just having one of the NBA's biggest superstars in there is going to help you to divide the defensive attention. You know what I mean? Because guys are still trying to – when Kawhi would drive, guys are still trying to – you know, crash down on him, and the Bucks might have three guys trying to stop him, and he would kick it out, and then they'd kick it over again, you know, drive, yeah. Kick it out, and they had a lot of open corner shots.
And it pays to have Kawhi on the defensive side of the ball, too. I mean, he's out here shutting down Giannis on the dribble every time he catches the ball. If Kawhi's on him, he's trying to get that steal. He makes problems on the defensive side. He's a freak that way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Kawhi, even when he's not – at his best, he's better than most. And so he created a lot of problems for the Bucks, basically just making them pay attention to him, and it left other guys open. And the good thing about playing at home and being hot last night, that leads to a pretty easy win when guys are hitting shots.
Yeah, I mean, they won by 18, it was. And I mean, they led by 20 most of the way. I remember I was watching most of it, and the Bucks tried to make a run in the third quarter, and they got it down to – I want to say 8 or 12 points somewhere in there, and the Raptors didn't let off. Like they never really succumbed to the advances, I guess.
Yeah, well, the Bucks were having trouble opening the quarters. So they got down at the start of the second and the start of the third. So and the Raptors would just casually kind of build on the lead. So by the time they got to the fourth, it was still like I want to say it was a 13-point game.
Yeah,
it was 94-81. But you knew that the Raptors.
I was trying to watch. Hitting. I got bored at watching basically a 20-point game the whole way. I fell asleep at one point and woke back up and it was 104-84. And I was like, well, I guess I could try to stay up and catch a little bit last of this. See if the Bucks try to make a last second run. Or I can roll back over and fall asleep on the couch, and that's what I did.
Yeah. Now the series goes back to Milwaukee, tied 2-2. Nick Nurse, he says, we need to take the challenge of playing in a hostile environment, going into a tough, loud place to play. Let's see if our guys can bring the same pop and focus and determination on the road. Well, that's the thing. You better hope for Kawhi to be back and be healthier and feel okay in that game because – I think it's harder for your supporting cast to hit shots on the road.
Yeah, know? I mean, John says it all the time. Your role players play better at home. That's kind of how that kind of feels like how both of these teams are built is the one superstar and you need
your
12
star.
Role players.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You need your star to play well on the road.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be harder for, you know, if Kawhi's fatigued and they're committing everything to Kawhi and then, sure, he's kicking it out to open guys, but if the open guys can't hit, in Milwaukee, they'll probably lose the game.
And that's the problem that Giannis had. Is he couldn't even show out on the road. I think the first game he had 10 or 12 points, but he had like 19 boards.
Well, he was pretty good last night.
But he also had 8 turnovers in that first game. I don't know what his stat line was last night.
He had 25 and 10 last night, and then Chris Middleton had another 30. But the problem was that nobody else scored more than 11 points.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a couple of guys step up.
Splash Mountain couldn't come through for them.
Yeah, they just didn't have – the supporting cast like they might have had playing at home. So it'll be interesting to see how that is different when it goes back to Milwaukee. You realize Milwaukee, with the loss last night, lost its second straight game following a six-game winning streak. But the only time that they dropped consecutive games this season was at Utah on March 2nd and at Phoenix on March 4th.
Hmm.
That's a good stat.
Yeah. Milwaukee had not dropped consecutive games since March, and they did it only one time during the regular season.
They're a really good team. Like,
yeah.
It goes back to, honestly, what John said. They get, like, he thinks Budenholzer is a really good coach, and Giannis, he knows how to get the best out of Giannis, and those other guys, those pieces just really work well together. And as soon as Giannis develops an outside shot, it's going to be over for the league.
I think it shows you that it's different in the playoffs, though.
Yeah.
You know,
teams start to form better defensive plans. Like, you try to make better matchups.
And you're playing harder on defense in general.
And you don't have as much of a break. You know, you're going one night rest, flying to a different city. Let's play.
Yeah. Which that's, you know, the last time they lost, they only had one night rest when they, you know, like I said, they lost to the Jazz on March 2nd and Phoenix on March 4th. But it's wild to me that only one time all year they lost consecutive games. I mean, that's impressive, man. They
were the best team in the East.
Yeah.
They were beating people by 20 points every night.
Won, like, what, 70% of their game by double digits?
Yeah, I want to say, something, I mean, like, yeah, something like that. And then they were, like, 60-22 or something like that for the whole season. Like, that's a damn good team.
It's
damn
a damn good,
coach. Good
team, but I think you see how damn good the Raptors can be too, and how damn good Kawhi is. And that's why, I mean, I'm pulling for Kawhi. I hope the Raptors can find a way to.
Oh, that's funny, because I've actually been pulling for Giannis this whole time.
Have you really?
Yeah, I've found myself when I'm watching cheering for the Bucks, and I don't know if it's because, like, I have a little bit of a Wisconsin tie with my family, but, like, I've just always
Big cheese guy.
My stepmom's from Green Bay, or from, I guess it's Door County, Wisconsin, but, like, she grew up in Wisconsin, so I've always been a Green Bay fan. And
yeah, you are a Packers fan.
And so, like, it just kind of became whenever we tuned into the playoffs this year and I saw the Bucks were doing well, and I've always enjoyed watching Giannis play because he is a freak, you know.
I just like Kawhi because he's wired a lot like the way that he plays defense hard. He's wired kind of like Jordan and Kobe.
I wish,
and I don't want to compare him to those guys really, but I mean, I will compare him. I mean, he's not that good, but he's pretty damn good. He's wired the same way.
You're talking about demeanor wise,
and the way he plays on defense, and just Kawhi is just that you can tell he's an alpha on the court, and I really love watching a guy like that. I mean, he's
too quiet for me. I want some personality. Yeah. I mean, I did love the quote after game two, where they said, "Where do you go from here?" And he said, "Toronto for game three."
The next game. Yep. We're going.
I am leaving here to go to Toronto for the next game. Next
question.
We're
going to hop on a plane, and that's what we're going to do.
I think the quiet demeanor really fits his, like, play style, though, really well. Like, it just kind of meshes with him. Like, it fits him.
Just a silent killer.
Yeah, he just goes and gets it. He's all about business. So.
Yeah. We'll see how the Bucks respond. Mike Budenholzer said it's the first night defensively he felt like they weren't close. Said they got punched, got really got tested. So we will see how the Bucks respond to that. Luckily for them, it's going back to Game 5 in Milwaukee. We'll see how the series turns out. Whoever wins will meet the Warriors in the NBA Finals, and I don't know if either one of them can beat the Warriors.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I really don't think so.
Unless the way I've put it, since the beginning of the playoffs, really, and this is just going off of the NBA knowledge that John gives us, but, like he said, teams don't go on these kind of runs. This is the first time since the Celtics teams that a team's gone to the finals five times in a row. So unless the Warriors are just out of gas at this point and just cannot, like, use their legs by game five or six, I would think they handle the Bucks
and they don't even
easily.
Have Durant yet, like, back yet. Like, yeah. If he comes back, it's
might hurt him.
Like, it's unheard of. This run is incredible.
Play better without him.
If he comes back, it might hurt him. Yeah. I don't know. That maybe the Bucks are hoping for Durant to be in there. I don't know. You wouldn't think so, but I don't know. We'll see how they match up. We'll be back on the other side. We're going to take a break now. Welcome back to the show. Pretty sports-heavy first hour here.
Don't know what we're going to do the rest of the show.
Well, Jordan DeGianni is going to join us in the second hour. Jordan has...
some NFL news?
Yeah, we'll talk NFL. Ooh. Jordan covers the Redskins pretty heavily, so he'll kind of break down that Reuben Foster stuff with us.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I had a roommate asking me about that last night, and I was trying to explain to him like the quote-unquote voluntary OTAs that aren't necessarily voluntary, and it's kind of like hard to explain, so hopefully Jordan can have some insight.
He spends a lot of his time doing NFL stuff, yeah. So he should be able to help us out with that. Jordan DeGianni of 247 Sports in Hour 2, we will get him on. Short segment here, I guess. You guys want to go to the hat? Go to
the hat. Let's do it.
First time of the day going to the hat?
Hat.
We haven't been to the hat yet this week, have
we?
Hope
we still have topics.
I don't think so. Oh, there's plenty of topics. Cam, see what you can get out of the hat there.
Hat.
See if we can get something good.
Multiples.
If it's not good, just draw again.
What skill would you like to master?
That's pretty vague. What skill would you like to master? I guess if you could do anything besides what you currently do, I guess is the like just the skill.
I'd like to master radio.
Yeah, that'd be
nice. Yeah, that'd be helpful.
The people that have quote unquote mastered it seem to do fairly well for themselves.
Yeah. It'd be cool to be like Howard Stern, you know, be worth like $500 million.
I don't know. After watching, you know, bits and pieces of Game of Thrones and, you know, my show, Vikings.
Sword fighting
or archery, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. My answer would be guitar.
Guitar, just master the guitar?
Yeah. Because there's
that's
nothing.
That's a good one, too.
I already play, and I feel like, you know, I've gotten better. I only started playing in 2015. And I feel like I'm better at it now, you know, much better now than I was when I started.
I've heard you play. I think you're fairly talented, buddy. I mean, I've been playing since I was in like sixth grade, and I can not do a whole lot. I let myself kind of stop and kind of get out of practice. But like, I've heard you play a few times, and I've been like, you know what, Cody is worlds past what I can do.
Wow, thank you, Ben.
Yeah, no, you've got
you really inflated my ego.
No, you've got some talent on the sixth string and those pipes too.
The five string is really where my talent is.
Really?
You pull that low E string off, that top string.
You just go E.
Tune it to
A open through
G.
E.
Yep. Except you tune it to a different tuning. You tune it to open G. It's the way Keith Richards plays. So that's how I started playing because I like the sound of it.
Yeah.
But, like, to me, though, I don't think I'm good. Like, I hear people play who can, like,
shred.
All these solos and stuff, and you know, I would like
that
to
would
be
cool.
Able to do that
someday. It'd be nice to master an instrument. I've always had an affinity for the piano. Like hearing
me
people
too.
Shred on the piano,
it's kind of cool to watch people play. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, that'd
but
be
like,
nice to learn.
My grandmother, she taught lessons on the piano for a long time. So I even asked her, like, hey, can you show me? And my hands just don't work that way.
Really?
I can't get my left hand to do something different than my right.
Yeah.
When I'm strumming and just holding a chord, no problem.
You got to have a certain. I feel like the piano translates pretty well from the guitar, personally, because I learned how to play a couple piano songs pretty easily.
I must just have like robotic hands because like I can make the chord shapes, but I can't like I'm bad at solos, can't play the piano. I've just got very like technical, I guess.
Yeah, good rhythm player.
Yeah,
it's good. You can do that, Cam. What skill would you like to master?
I'd probably try and want to master like a specific video game. Like, have you seen how much streamers make just to sit around and play video games?
Yeah.
Like, if I mastered one game, I could just stream and sit in my house and make
on Twitch
thousands of dollars.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome.
Playing a video game, yeah.
It's still crazy to me that people can do that these days.
I mean, Ninja's out here cranking out half a mil.
Yeah, he's
in like a
cameos
month.
And all sorts of stuff. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy,
and all he does is play Fortnite, and he's not even the best.
Yeah,
he's not even the best. He's not even the best at it.
He's got the good brand, I guess.
Like, yeah, he literally just knows how to market himself.
That's crazy, man. So you could just pick one game, and like if you mastered it and you're the best at it, people are gonna show up to watch.
I feel like I could put on a decent brand. Yeah,
you could probably you know start working your way up those NCAA tournaments.
I doubt anybody's tuning in on Twitch for NCAA 14.
They've got live tournaments for those
still
the NCAA Madden stuff. Yeah,
I mean the game's 5 years, 6 years old.
I mean, like, they at least have the Madden versions where you go and you play against people, and there's prizes for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
You can make lots of money doing that, too. And I see people on, like, Twitter all the time, like, hey, like, I'll play you for $100 right now. It's like, oh, that's an easy scam if you're really good at the game.
That's a good one, Cam. I think I'm with that, too. If I could master, like, Fortnite or Apex and just start making some cash.
Yeah,
you get all sorts of sponsors and everything.
You get
free
sponsors,
stuff. Like, you get
and
paid.
People that just watch you. Yeah, you get sponsors, and people that just watch you will just send you money.
It's insane.
All the time, they're just sitting there and, you know, playing their video game on a computer, and every so often they look up, go, oh, thanks so-and-so for this many bits, and 100 bits equals a dollar. So it's like,
there's even the eSports leagues now. Like, you could join the eSports league and make money doing that too.
Every 2 minutes, someone's donating $5 to $10 to these people just for playing a video game, just giving it to them because they enjoy what they're doing.
Unbelievable.
Millennials.
I never thought I'd see the day. Hour one is in the books. Hour two is on deck. Stay tuned to Talk Sports.
Please note.